Bringing an MVP to life can be expensive, time-consuming, and heartbreaking if the results aren't customer and investor ready. You know what I'm talking about, right? Our guest launched an MVP development company that helps founders build revenue-generating scalable MVPs for under $10,000 using a combination of proprietary technology and pre-built modules. Ooh, this is going to be a delicious conversation. Stay tuned for the Start of Life live show. Let's glow, everyone. Hello and happy National Entrepreneurship Month. It's November 1st, 2022, and this whole month right here in the U.S. is dedicated to entrepreneurship. How about that? I'm so happy you're here and tuning into the Startup Life live show. I'm your host, Andy Lyons, four times founder and startup champion to founders around the world. And after raising four businesses of my own, I know what you are going through every single day with your startup. Oh my gosh, the challenges you're facing and the opportunities that you're also facing can be so wonderful. It's that roller coaster ride, right? One minute you're like, phew, popping that champagne, and the next minute you're crying into that champagne. But boy, those disasters teach us so much, right? So, you know, every day we have to be upping our founder game, which is why I am so grateful you carved out time to tune in and up your founder game, because as you do better, your startup will do better. And as you know more, you can apply it to your startup. Hearty welcome to everyone tuning in. Hello, live viewers, and mwah, to the replay viewers and podcast listeners, my heart right here for you. So grateful that you're tuning in. And wherever you are watching or listening, please share this episode with your community on your social media feeds and give it a like. All right. And if you're tuning in, because this way we can reach more folks and help more founders out there in the world. And if you are on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel and click that notification button. And to receive an alert whenever I go live, join the Startup Life Meetup group. Here you'll get the deep dive into who the guest is, what they're building, what they've learned, what they're going to be sharing with you from their journey, whether they're an investor or a founder. So let's have a moment. Yep, Andylicious announcements time. There's so many wonderful things going on in the world. I can't wait to share. But the really big announcement for here at the Startup Life live show, can I just give a quick shout out? That's right, 200 episodes coming up on November 8th. We've got the wonderful Lolita Taub, who will be joining us 1 p.m. on Tuesday, November 8th. Come on. How exciting is this? Ah! And if you don't know Lolita, go follow her on Twitter. She is the most generous person in the world out there for connecting founders with investors and helping answer so many details. They call her Loss, Lolita as a service. That's how incredible she is. So I just want to put that out there into the world. There's also today the kickoff of the wonderful documentary called Girls Just Want to Have Funds. They're raising money to wrap up this wonderful documentary film. And you know how hard it is out there with 2% or less being given to women in funding. So this is a great opportunity. Visit the link Girls Just Wanna, W-A-N-N-A, have funds dot we did it. And that's we did dot IT / campaigns / 10889. Of course, the links are in the show notes to make it easy breezy for you. Check it out. If you got some $25 even, give some wind to their sales so we can get this important documentary film out there. Catherine Gray is the executive director. She was on the show a few months ago. She's just amazing. I also want to encourage everybody to check out Scroobius if you're raising capital. This is a platform that makes it human first, and they help you with a video pitch deck. They help you on so many levels. Be sure to use Andy15 to get a discount and go do yourself a favor. Get some peer support that you need for your startup. And if you're loving all the advice and information you're getting here, hop on over to buymeacoffee.com/Andy Lyons. You know, I love a good Breve cappuccino. So that really helps keep this, quote, charming personality moving forward. Big founder hug to everybody out there. Please remember, ask for help. Ask for that connection you need. Ask for the introduction or some advice on something that you're facing. Please reach out in any way to me, to my guests, to the Startup Life Live community. We're all here to help each other grow and prosper and succeed. All right, time to introduce our guest who's so amazing. It is the phenomenal and amazing Ayush Singhvi. He launched Build to address a gap he saw in software entrepreneurship. Aspiring founders spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on ineffective developers or agencies without receiving a marketable product. Build is an MVP development company that helps founders build revenue-generating, scalable MVPs for under $10,000 using a combination of proprietary technology and pre-built modules. To date, Build has helped 40-plus founders go to market, get their first customers, and start scaling. And companies Build has worked with have generated hundreds of thousands in revenue, have been accepted into Y Combinator, and raised money at eight-figure valuations. I'm not going to waste another minute. Let's bring Ayush into the room. Ayush!
Hey, Andy.
Round of applause. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm so happy that you're here and that you're joining us. Please let us know where you're hanging from.
Thanks for having me. I'm super pumped. I'm in the Philippines right now. I'm in Manila. Oh,
that's great. That's great. Yeah, folks, I always appreciate guests who are staying up a little late at night. So what, a 12-hour difference?
Yeah, it's 12 in the morning right now.
Oh, see, 12 in the morning. I really appreciate you staying up late like this for us. And I'm grateful that you're here to share your story. And yay, Ruth from Nairobi. So happy to see you. She's saying, reminding everybody, be sure to amplify your startup while tuning in live. Be sure to share your business name, one-liner, and website in the comment threads during the live show. And folks, thousands of people see this, the replay of this video. Imagine if someone who wanted to help you, fund you, buy from you, here's about your startup right here. So do yourself a favor and your startup a favor. Amplify your business while we're live here. Hey, Charles, how you doing? Do I know anyone in Harvard? I actually know the director of the Harvard Innovation Lab. So reach out to me. There's other folks that we know at Harvard. So, I mean, this is Boston. Harvard is right here. Thanks for tuning in, Charles. All right, so let's get down to your story, because something happened for you in 2014 that inspired you to dive into startup life. First, as a team member, right, going to work for startups. Talk a little bit about that and what inspired you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I moved to New York in 2014, and I just love the energy of the place. Like everybody so ambitious, so driven. Everybody's building something or like, you know, just like, you know, really energized. And it's an electric vibe in that city. And I was at NYU and they have a really good startup program there. So I spent a lot of time in the entrepreneurship lab, got to know a lot of the people and like the problems they were solving and the things they were trying to build, and it was really inspiring. And that's how I kind of started off. I just, you know, made a friend there who needed some help with development, and we just ended up working together. And then that's where kind of my journey started. And then, you know, just kind of.
And you got bit by the bug. You said, you know what? I get to do a lot while I'm here, right? In this seat. And you get to wear many hats at a startup and get to bring more of yourself than you would if you were sort of put into one tiny little role in a little lane somewhere in a larger organization. So what was it that helped you and inspired you to go out on your own? Because that's a big deal to go from employee to founder. Anybody can tell you that. It doesn't matter if you were like the number two person hired at, you know, Zoom or Canva or places like that. no matter what, when you go on your own, it's a whole different experience. What happened that compelled you to go out on your own?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, it definitely wasn't a spontaneous decision. I thought about it a lot. And I think eventually I just realized that like it was time to do something on my own. And I had an opportunity, a friend of mine needed help with like a new product that, you know, he was building. So I thought I'd take the step and kind of do it. And I did it in February of 2020. And I'm glad I did, because if I had done it a month later,
COVID
shut the world down. I would have been too scared to like actually take that step.
Well, New York City, Boston, we were shut down immediately. I mean, first week in March, things were like, uh-oh. And by the second week, nobody was going anywhere, right?
Right, exactly.
Gosh, you know, folks, there's a lot to be said for timing. So you got it launched, and then what happened? I mean, so COVID got shut down. Like, was it just you? Did you have folks helping you? And what was the business model?
Yeah, the business model when we started off, it was more like a CTO as a service kind of product. But like over time, with you know, more customer interaction, more pivots, we kind of realized that this is the direction we want to go in, and this is what kind of is resonating most with you know, the people we were talking to. But yeah, we had one team member that time. Now we're a team of 38 as of today. So.
Gosh. Well, we're going to get into more details on how that happened in such a short period of time. But let's say hi to Cindy. Hi, Cindy. Thank you for sharing Linking Ventures. Phenomenal organization, everybody. First of all, connect with Cindy Guyon on LinkedIn, please, please. And visit Linking Ventures. As she says here, we help bootstrapping tech startups track their value with a series of metric-based valuations. And folks, when you go to raise money for your startup, especially right now, you're going to want to really nail down valuations, because you don't want to leave any equity on the table. You want to keep it in house. And so you don't want investors coming in and saying, well, times are tough, we're going to want more. Cindy and Linking Ventures will help you really nail this part down. And you know, you don't know what you don't know, okay? And so you want to get the advice from a third party that's not biased on the deal. Okay, so you're in New York. You came up with this idea first is to be like a fractional CTO, chief technical officer, for a lot of, especially with the non-tech founders who can't bring on anybody full time, but it's really helpful to have somebody who knows what they're doing, who can look at their technology and go, ooh, you got to fix this here, do this, do that. But Ayush, then you saw another opening, which is, this is so exciting about startups, folks. You know, you start up with one idea and then all of a sudden you're like, ooh, and it's not a shiny object. You have seen an even bigger problem that needs solving that you're seeing a lot of traction for. So talk about that transition. What was that like for you? How long had you been doing the first part of your business? And then when did you pivot more into MVP development?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's like a specific date where we stopped doing one thing and we started doing the other. We're like, the service that we provide still has elements of that first business in it, right? Where we're guiding founders and helping them understand what they need to do. But it's just like having conversations with people and they were like, okay, well, that's great. But what I really need is like, you know, somebody to help me like build version one or whatever it was. And that's how we kind of realized when we started getting more and more questions in that direction. Like as we were talking to founders and as we were talking to like aspiring entrepreneurs.
Yeah. So, and that's fascinating because we hear it all the time here. I mean, I've had founders, and this will make you cry too, how, you know, they've built out the front end and they're like, okay, let's build out the back end. Not that I really know what I'm talking about, but I kind of do. And they went to ask their developer, great, we've got some good traction, good feedback, let's do this now, and completely ghosted. Because as they later found out, they didn't know backend from anything. So they didn't have the maturity to say, that's not a service I can provide. Oh, wow. So, yeah, so that's, you know, there's those horror stories. There's the, you know, $50,000 to $100,000 on an offshore and getting it and going, I cannot even use this. And I can't believe I worked so hard to raise the money for this and now I can't do it. Yeah, I have so many questions. I just want to quickly bring up Cindy's links because here we love to celebrate folks, people who share how we can help them. And this is for Linking Ventures. So it's linkingventures.com, early stage tech valuations. You can go to YouTube at Linking Ventures and Twitter. And for Charles, who's tuning in, Cindy, I don't know if you guys are having a side conversation, but he's got some questions for you. So you two can both connect because you're both tuning in from LinkedIn. And I know that Ruth will help you engage with each other. So how... Now, were you still in New York or had you moved back to the or to the Philippines at this point? Where were you geographically?
Yeah, I'd moved back in March just because of COVID and the situation in New York.
Sure. So you went like, okay, I'm out of here. And because folks, you remember New York City, it was not a pretty sight. So I'm glad you got out of town when you could. So you made the transition from employee to founder, which is great. And you're starting to build up your team. How did you prove your value prop? I mean, here you are ready to help others prove their value proposition by creating a minimum viable product. How did you prove that Build had a good product market fit?
Yeah. So, you know, it's a combination of kind of being in that industry and like seeing this problem firsthand happen to so many people around you. And then eventually as a founder, just those conversations with clients where they say that, you know, this is what we need, this is what we're looking for. And then we just found that like this kind of, messaging resonated the most.
Right. And so how did you figure who you wanted to serve? Because technology is so broad. And founders, you can't go after like the whole world. And you know that, right? You've got to choose a segment. What was Build's segment, customer segment?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the problem that we've always wanted to solve is helping make entrepreneurship more accessible and democratize that, right? And the people that we went after were like people who had ideas or who had industry insights or who had spotted some gaps or opportunities, and they may not necessarily have the technical expertise to like go from idea to product, you know, in a way that made sense as a startup founder. Because the kind of problem I've seen with a lot of development companies, you know, around the world is that they're great at what they do, but they're the interaction is more like, okay, you tell me what you want me to do and I'm going to go and execute it for you, rather than, you know, giving feedback or giving like creative input that founders typically need when they're at such an early step, such an early stage in their journey.
Right, right. And so how do you onboard folks? I mean, how do you bring them on board? How are you reaching them? First of all, are you reaching them through word of mouth? Are you buying ads? Share with other founders how you're getting to your target market.
Sure. So a lot of it has been referral based. So, you know, the people that we've worked with, like they're very happy with the work that we've done and they've been telling their friends and other people like about us. So most of the growth we've seen over the past 2.5 years has been referral based. Recently, we started running ads a couple of months ago and we've had some success with it. We're still trying to figure it out and make it like consistently well. But yeah, like the vast majority has been referral.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, folks, you've got to find ways, and advertising is a wonderful way to go. Sometimes you don't know if you're hitting. There's ways you could do it to track your advertising. But, you know, if you can have someone who's dedicated in-house or hire someone who's really good at this, I think you'll have results that you can measure and track. So after you launch and you start having these conversations and you realize, wow, our customers don't actually need a fractional CTO. They actually need help building an app, okay? Their minimum viable product that they can then start beta testing and taking to investors and perhaps getting funded. And so what was it that your customers really taught you about pricing of your app? Because really to come in at such a low fee with the promise of being able to build what they need in this small period of time, I find delicious, because I've seen so many founders cry over how much it costs to build an app. But also, I'm curious as to how you figured that out.
Yeah. So the thesis that we started out with was that the vast majority of the work that goes into building a SaaS product is not differentiating your business, right? So for example, your login or registration flow, that's not going to ever be a revenue driver for your product. So what we've done is we've built IP and we've built modules on our end, which automate the software development process and accelerate just the process of building product. And what that allows us to do is spend developer hours exclusively on whatever the unique thing about your product is. So we're not spending engineering time building like a login screen or, figuring out how people can reset their password or any of that stuff. All of that has been standardized. It's been modularized and it's plug and play. We're spending it on building the thing that makes your product unique and helping you solve the problem you're trying to solve in the most effective way. So that's why, just because it just takes less time, that's why the cost is the way it is.
Understood. I love that. And that's so helpful, especially for a startup founder who has a skinny budget. And folks, a lot of the tech founders who are actually tech people, they can hop on Wix and create, something. They can do very talented. And they're like, whoa, why don't you do this? But most founders who are non-tech know just enough to give you, to hire you, but that's about it. So I love that about Build. So let's talk a little bit more about how you started to build the business. Did you raise money? Did you use some savings? Did you bootstrap in the sense that you got clients on board and they paid you the fee and that kept you moving forward? Talk a little bit about that, please.
Yeah, it's all bootstrap entirely from day one. It wasn't profitable, it wasn't very profitable from day one, but it has been entirely bootstrapped.
So what does that look like though? Profitable will be, and sustainable. It means that you need to get some clients on board continuously and have a funnel and have how many, people. How are you managing all of that? What have you learned in that process? It's so important, for other founders to hear how you figured that out, Ayush. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Absolutely. So I think, it really is about focusing on your KPIs and not letting vanity metrics get in the way of, things like views or downloads or those kinds of things. Really focusing on what problem you're trying to solve. How can you solve it well enough so that you can get customers to pay you for it? And, that's kind of like the main thing that we communicate to all the founders that we work with. It's like, just focus on that. All of the bells and whistles can wait. Just get this. And then once you get this, everything just becomes so much easier.
It really does. And so when you are doing this, you're saying, I'm going to have this turnaround time. Is it a guarantee that you're going to turn it around in 30 days?
In most cases, we are able to do that. Again, every product is unique, so it really depends on what that MVP needs to do. Some are more complex than others. So it's not a guarantee in that sense, but in like most cases, we're able to do it in like a month.
Wow. That to me is amazing. Seriously, and that's just as an observer, seeing how long it takes. But again, you're getting it to that point where, okay, now we can build it out. But this MVP is so important. And why do you have the word revenue generating MVP? Nobody says that.
Yeah, we really want to focus on that, right? We really want founders to also focus on that, because once you're able to get revenue, once you're able to, that's the best kind of validation that you can have. It's paying customers. And if you have that, hiring a team becomes easier, raising money becomes easier. So many doors open up for you. you're able to have so many more effective conversations. So I think for early stage founders, that really needs to be the goal.
What do you say when you get somebody and you're sitting there going, yeah, no one's going to pay for that? Do you build it anyway?
I mean, we try to help them, figure out, like, find the audience or modify the idea in a way that they have an audience that appreciates what they're trying to build. And sometimes that doesn't happen and we like push to have a pivot, but ultimately, you know, it's the founder's baby, it's their idea. And if they are confident, like they know the industry that they're operating in better than we do. And if they are confident that this is something that has a lot of potential, we help them build it out.
See, I love that. Cindy, this is a great question. Ayush, how do you address unconscious algorithm bias in a low-code, no-code environment? First of all, you're going to have to explain what Cindy's... I mean, I have a great ring, but it's not a decoder ring. So what is she talking about here? Such a smarty pants, Cindy.
I am not sure, actually. Yeah. I'm not sure what unconscious algorithm bias is. I'm happy to study that and get back to you, Cindy.
Oh, great. See, excellent answer, folks. Same thing when you get an investor who asks a question, you're like, say what? Just go, you know what? That's a really great question, and I'm going to get back to you. Thank you for showing us how that works, because investors will like to get into the weeds sometimes, and we're just not there yet. So founders, this is great. So what, can you just go over again how you keep it to the $10,000? I know that you said that you're keeping it so that you're not building out all these different areas, but is that $10,000?
Yes, that's $10,000. And I was just thinking about Cindy's question. One thing to clarify is that Build is not a low code or no code platform, right?
Right.
So what we're doing is that the output of the service is a code base that belongs entirely to the founder, that's customizable in any way whatsoever. So it's not dependent on any kind of like third party platform. Okay. So it's not really a low code, no code platform. It's just a bunch of modules and a bunch of tools that write code for us. And then the output is independent of any other third party.
Got it. Okay. Great question, Cindy. We're all learning with you. Thank you. And Charles has a question here. What's the difference between you guys and Launchpeer? I don't know. I've never heard of Launchpeer.
I'm not familiar with that company.
Yeah, not familiar, Charles, with Launchpeer. Of course, we're going to do a quick search. What is Launchpeer? You know, we all have competitors, everybody. Just walk down the bread aisle. Everybody can get along in their lane. Because sure, it's been done before, but not by you and not for us. So, you know, having a good idea of what the competitive landscape is always helpful. And hey, Brent Manuel, thank you for tuning in. As Ruth always says, he's our most loyal fan ever. And he's tuning in from Canada, and he's a diverse person, always reminding us that disability is innovation. And he's absolutely right. We have invisible disabilities out there, folks, in neurodiversity, and we have visible disabilities. And we need to understand that there's room for all people in your work. How do you manage that in your team? Do you have a diverse team at Build?
Yeah, I think we do have a diverse team. So a lot of the engineers that we work with, we hire from we have people in our team from like all sorts of backgrounds. The team's based in India, so they are like all Indian, but they're from a variety of different backgrounds. We haven't actually yet put in any conscious effort to explicitly hire diversely, but I think that's going to change very soon. We've recently onboarded new human resources manager who's great, and I'm super excited. And one of the things that they're going to be working on is just making sure that the culture of the company is really robust and really diverse.
Oh, that's wonderful, because then you're meeting all customers' needs in the sense that you have a diverse landscape within. And I encourage startup founders, I know that you have a lot on your plate, but really looking at this from day one, instead of saying, I don't have enough money right now to look at that, I barely have a team, yeah, all of that, you need to keep thinking diversity in where you are and equity and inclusion, all right, just from day one. And then you can hire an HR person who will make sure that that stays and works for it. Great question, Charles. How robust are the apps?
I'm biased, but I'd say pretty robust.
What does robust mean when it comes to an app?
Right. I think, again, it depends on what you're, how you're examining it. But I think for our goal is to build something that you're, that is good enough that founders can go and sell it to customers, right? And get their first X number of customers. And that will always lead to more feedback and more innovation and more ideas. And that's kind of where we're, you know, what we focus on.
Absolutely. And it's so important because then they can come back to you and get, you know, more features, upgrades, and become even more robust. Is that what happens? Do you have like add-ons once a client has worked with you on the initial MVP?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we have teams that have been working with us for over 2 years and the company is like, you know, 2.5 years old. So yeah, that definitely happens all the time.
So tell some stories because you've helped companies that have become accepted into Y Combinator, who have been funded, who have gotten some strong valuations. Can you share a few stories with us around that?
Sure. I mean, we're work with a lot of companies. The specifics are a little.
Absolutely. But, you know, XYZ type of tech company came to you and you were there when they were like, oh, boy, I wish we could get into Y Combinator. And so you helped them with giving them enough technology so that because folks, when you get interviewed to get into Y Combinator, the folks interviewing have to understand what it is you're doing. And so you've got to have a clear, you know, go to market strategy, but you've got to have something that you're showing that you're going to market with.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the companies we work with is like they're a platform for buying and selling businesses, right? And the platform, what it does is it kind of digitizes that process.
Yeah.
Right. So we've worked with actually a lot of the, you know, products that we work with are from founders that have been in the industry for a while and have like noticed gaps or noticed places where technology can come in. And like the technology itself isn't really complex, right? It's not difficult to like integrate with, you know, a bank and like read your kind of financials or with like an accounting tool, read your financials and kind of create a valuation of your company or see how you're doing. But it's just not a digitized process. And a lot of the work that we do is like helping those founders just kind of figure out how to plug technology in a way that the process becomes smooth. It removes pain points in that industry and just help them like go to market and like, you know, get those customers.
That's right. Speaking of founders, happy National Entrepreneurship Month, no fall. How are you? He's saying, God, it's a great gap in today's market due to cost and time constraints, right? So he's cheering you on, Ayush, but also he's asking me, where's your Halloween costume? That was yesterday. I was Sia yesterday. I've got my great Sia wig. I put on the black. I dance around and prance around.
Awesome.
But no fall. I just want to remind you that on the 8th, let me just quickly just share this with you. This is November 8th. Look at that. 200 episodes. It'll be the 200th episode of the Startup Life Live Show. We're celebrating that on November 8th at 1 p.m. with the amazing Lolita Taub. She is an extraordinary founder and funder, especially in community building LATAM and U.S. companies. So anyway, I'm excited for that. No fall. Hope you can come by and say hi. And look who's here. Oh, my gosh. Joy Valerie, you're one of our favorite people on the planet. She helps founders streamline operations and get stuff done. And she does it in ways that work for founders, but she does so much more than that. She's just inspirational everywhere. So thanks for the claps or the high fives. There we are. Charles has a question. Are you guys in the fintech app space?
Yeah. So that's a pretty broad space. So it depends on what you're trying to do. We have worked on some projects before.
Like what kind?
Like the tool I just described, which automates buying and selling businesses. To an extent, it's in the financial technology space because it connects with your, let's say, QuickBooks account and kind of produces a report and evaluates your finances in that sense. Right. So it depends on the scope of work, or rather what you're trying to do. Feel free to reach out to me, you know, on the website or on LinkedIn, and I'm happy to, you know, talk to you about.
That's wonderful. Okay, Charles, you can see right here how to reach him. Also, his LinkedIn will be in the show notes, and your email is
ayushandbill.com.
Yeah, very simple. We probably should have put that in the lower banner there too. That would have been wicked smart of us if we had done that. So Ayush, in the 3 years, almost, well, 2.5, right, that you've been at this, I think you've had incredible traction, and congratulations on all that you've accomplished. We have to 38 members of your team. That's phenomenal, helping already over 40 companies. What was a real stumbling point? Because, you know, other founders feel so isolated and siloed. Sometimes they think all the stuff that's happening to them is them. They don't realize, no, that's part of the founder journey. Do you have a story that was just like a disaster that you thought, oh, forget it, put a fork in it, it's done. And then you got on the other side, you're like, oh, great, I figured that out. Yay. Do you have one of those stories for us?
Oh, so many. But it's, you know, it is, really, I can't. But, you know, ultimately, like, it is hard. It is really, really hard to do what a founder does. And I think that's why it's so important to have your support group with you. And like helping you out. And
who's your support group?
Everybody, my wife, my parents, friends, like everybody around me. And they've all helped me at some point or the other, right? Like, it's standing on the shoulders of giants, right? Really, like, you cannot do this alone. And every day there's just, your job as a founder is to solve problems. And that's your entire life, is like one problem and then go to the next problem and then go to the next problem. And then it's just, it is hard.
It's problem solving lily pads, everybody. Yeah. You're not alone. If you're tuning in and you think the stuff that's happening to you, trust me. And this happens for multiple founders, just like each kid doesn't come out with the same instructions, right? For raising them. It's the same thing when you have another business. It's like, what? I thought I'd be a superstar at this. And I've got a whole bunch of different problems I've never even thought about with my next startup. So please remember that. And if you ever want to see a really good TED talk on this, ping me and I'll send you the link for it, because it's wonderful. Cindy's doing a shout out for 5 p.m. EST today, Breakout Room Podcast. We explore the role of IP in protecting and uncovering diversity, equity, and inclusion in design and governance. Oh my gosh, this is diving deep, with guest Rashika Deer, who is a Bachelor in Science, Electrical Engineer, and an attorney. Come on. So she's got the link in the show notes here. But if you hop onto LinkedIn and look at the threads there as well, you'll see that with all the details. But you can just reach out to Cindy Guyon, G-U-I-O-N, and get the details. And again, follow her and connect with her on LinkedIn, everybody, because she's always adding value everywhere she glows. So, you know, this journey also has taught you about having favorite resources, whether it's a book or a technology that's really helped you get organized or whatever. What advice or a special resource do you have that you could share with viewers and listeners?
Yeah, I really love The Lean Startup by Eric Ries. I think that's a fantastic book.
Why?
I think it really encapsulates the idea of, you know, building a company and like really focusing on what matters. and using just that kind of, you know, having a feedback loop, really putting your customers' needs first and using that to like build your business. That's a great book. I really like The Hard Thing About Hard Things by Ben Horowitz. I think that's a fantastic book as well.
That's a special one. And why do you like that? Tell everybody a little bit about it.
It's very real, very real problems and very real advice that you don't really think about as, you know, when you're starting out. You know, there are hard problems, hard decisions to make, and it kind of helps you get into a frame of mind to be able to make them. I love books. I think those two are great. In terms of tools, if you're building a product that's on the internet, I think this is not to get organized, but this is more to like understand your users. A great tool is Fullstory, fullstory.com.
How do you spell that?
Fullstory, FullStory.
Oh my gosh, I've never heard it. It sounds wonderful. What does it do?
It basically tells you how your users are using your product. So you can it's almost like being in the room with them and seeing how they're using it. And so you know like what they're trying to do and what's making sense and what's not making sense to them on a page and or on an application or whatever it is. And it's in real time and you can, yeah.
Is this it? Wow. Yep, that's it. This is the first experience for me here. Oh my gosh, this is wonderful. Okay, everybody, I'll have this in the show notes. Don't worry, but I had to share so we could get an understanding about that. That's a wonderful tool. Thank you, Ayush.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yay. Because, you know, we got to do this journey together, folks. So what does success look like for you, Ayush? You know, is it something that you hope to feel? Is it more metric oriented? And if so, how are you measuring it? And as always, I'm going to ask which measuring tool are you using, yours or the outside world? You spoke about vanity metrics earlier, right? You know, we have to be careful that we're not measuring our success by someone else's standards. Yeah, what does success look like for you?
Yeah, I mean, beyond the kind of basic financial success that, you know, being able to be comfortable, I think what really motivated me to do this is just being able to help founders build businesses, make it easier for people to build companies. And I love watching like founders succeed and do well, and like solve really, really interesting problems. There's a project we're working on, which I can't disclose too much information about, but it could literally save lives, which is, you know, like when we launch it. So it's fantastic. There are so many, like just seeing the product succeed, just seeing companies and founders do well, is amazing.
And that's a feeling. You know, yes, you've got a revenue model strategy that you're working on and you want to build the value of your business up over time. But boy, there's nothing better than that feeling, right? That you know, like, wow. You know, and it's mind-blowing when you see some of these products people bring. You know, I'm involved with Halt Prize. And if you don't know Halt Prize, everybody, they have a theme every year and there's $1 million prize at the end of it. And it's a theme that helps the planet out in some way. And this 2023's theme is going to be about fashion because, you know, fashion is a real climate disaster on so many levels. And so you get all these founders that come in and they've got all these great ideas of how to save the planet that you never would have thought about and lowering the carbon footprint of fashion. And it's so I know that experience must be wonderful for you as people bring their ideas and then you help them bring it to life and you keep it cost effective, but also by getting them in the door with this quick MVP, an affordable MVP, then they get to work with you. They get to kick your tires. They get to have trust and faith in you as a company. And then when they're ready to take it to the next level, then you're going to be able to provide them with the services they need as they go deeper, right?
Absolutely.
That's so exciting. So you've had your great support group in your life, but who has added wind to your sails specifically? Can we do a shout out to somebody, someone who gave you great advice? Maybe they don't even know that they gave you some great advice along the way. But yeah, there's a mythology out there about how, I did it all by myself. Yeah, no, that never happens for folks. Who's added wind to your sails, Ayush?
No way. Yeah, absolutely. So I would, again, there are too many to name, but some people that come to mind beyond family, are my former employers at they're friends. Yeah. Evelyn and Frank, they were my bosses at Six Plus, and they were incredibly supportive when I told them, what I was planning to do. And they always wish the best for me, even though I was leaving the company and, doing something on my own. And it was amazing. And I learned so much from both of them while I was working at that company. So yeah, they're amazing.
The founders, you're going to really inspire people who are working for you. And it's just so exciting to have that opportunity as a founder. I'm so glad that they added wind to your sails and really cheered you on when you went and launched Build. How about your mindset? That's everything for a founder, Ayush, and the ability to shift out of despair, out of ego sometimes that thinks you should be further along than you are or should be doing better than you are. How, when you're having those days when you're feeling doubtful or even sometimes it can be frightening, folks. How do you shift out of that mindset, Ayush?
Yeah, I'm not sure how to answer that, but
snap out of it. in the mirror.
I think it helps you just disconnect for a while. If you're feeling that way, it's okay to take an hour, go for a walk.
Yeah.
Go for a run, do your thing. Exercise is really important, I think, on a daily or at least three, four times a week basis. I think that kind of helps a lot and helps you stabilize your mood and make sure that you have the energy to keep going.
I love that. Because, managing our psyches, everyone, because this is a very stressful yet passionate gig that you're on right now as a founder. And so taking that time out for self-care, self-reflection, of just being completely without your phone, everything, and just about you can really be helpful. Charles says he does swim and sauna. Yes. See, that can really, that can really ground you. I love that, Charles. That's perfect. And so that time off will also increase your creativity and help you with your problem solving skills. And, there's a lot to the hustle and grind culture, but it wears you down. You need to tap into your grit, which is your ability to cope and solve problems throughout your founder journey, folks. So it's important taking that time out where you unplug in order to get those juices flowing again. All right, 2.5 years as an entrepreneur, what has this journey taught you both professionally and personally?
Oh, wow. I think one really important thing is problems can be overcome. You have to hang in there. You have to apply your mind. You have to work at it, but you can overcome most problems that are in, that show up in front of you as a founder. And in many cases, you will likely look back at that in a couple of years and think about how little of an impact that had on your entire trajectory. Maybe it's losing an important client or having to let go of somebody or not having funds for a particular initiative or project, problems can be overcome and you can just work towards it.
And that's what entrepreneurship has taught you, and that's personally and professionally right there. That's great. One last question before I pop you in the green room and wrap up the show. How may the Startup Life Lives community serve you? What hard thing are you working on? What's your ask?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, one of the things as the company is growing, I would love advice and help from people who have been in this situation before, who are getting to a point where, like, the company's, you know, we're a remote team, it's scaling up. How do you maintain a really good culture as the team grows, as, you know, when you're a founder who can no longer have those one-to-one conversations with everybody on your team? How do you maintain a really good culture? How do you make sure that everybody's happy when you're, like, you know, maybe a layer away, or like
that's right,
a bit more than usual?
That's right. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, you know, we've had some guests on the show who know how to take care of that and manage that, you know, in the past. But if anybody's tuning in, please reach out to Ayush and say, I've got the formula. I have some great advice for you all on that. So that would be lovely. Ayush, I'm so grateful that you came on and joined me, that your folks reached out and said, have Ayush on the show. I was like, of course, I have to. I mean, anybody who's helping founders build an MVP in such a streamlined, cost-effective, lean startup way, I want to hear more. I want to learn more how you're doing it and how it's happening for you. I'm so grateful you shared your founder journey story and your wonderful company Build with us today.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, great. All right, folks. I'm still, you know, basking in the glow of learning about Build. This is a phenomenal company. This is one of the most important things that so many founders do, which is figuring out how to solve their problem, bring it to life through technology, through an app and software as a service, SaaS. And a lot of times it's just overwhelming. And so to know that Build is there is great. I'm just going to do this one more time. November 8th, 200th episode with Lolita Taub, the founder's dream. You have to follow her on Twitter, and we are going to have a delicious conversation of talking about investing in community-driven startups, but also celebrating. I'm going to have the balloons in the back as I did for the 100th episode. It's very, very exciting. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to tell diverse founders and funders' stories here on this platform. I'm always grateful for you for tuning in and showing up. And I hope you can swing by somewhere, you know, between 1 and 2 on November 8th as 1 p.m. EST and say a quick woohoo, et cetera. And in the meantime, let me share with you who is on next. Now, this is, you know, a phenomenal documentary filmmaker. And folks, you know how I feel so strongly that everyone, you know, all artists are entrepreneurs, but not all entrepreneurs are artists, right? So we have artistpreneur Sky Bergman. She's an accomplished award-winning photographer who recently made her directorial debut with a phenomenal film called Lives Well Lived. It's on PBS. You've probably seen it there. And it's a film celebrating the incredible wit, wisdom, and experiences of adults aged 75 to 100 years old. We're going to, you know, I got to show you some of these photos. Isn't this great? I mean, my gosh. And she's won all sorts of awards. And it's really an amazing endeavor. And she figured out how to take this passion project and turn it into reality. And so we're going to hear all her amazing stories for bringing this film to life. And that is Friday, November 4th at 12 noon EST. And how do you know whenever I post a new show? You join the Startup Life Live meetup group. You can hop, scan that QR code there or hop into the show notes and click the link, join the group. There's 600 of us. And this way you'll get an alert whenever I post a new show and a few hours before I go live as a reminder. You never know who's going to be talking about a story that you want to learn more about for your business. Hey, that's lovely feedback. No Fall is saying, great episode. Wishing Ayush all the best. It is a niche with all the startups struggling with this pain point, cost and time for MVP. Nofal is a phenomenal mentor for folks. So go connect with Nofal on LinkedIn. He's a remarkable human and one of my favorites. Why don't we have coffee? And in the meantime, I'm wishing everybody a wonderful day everywhere they glow, everywhere you glow. And please know that you have it in you to do what you are doing. You're strong enough, you're brave enough, and as we say here in Boston, you're wicked smart enough, okay? You can do hard things. I'm cheering you on here from Boston. I'll see you next time. Until then, I'm wishing you a delicious day. Mwah, everyone.